The Cycling Podcast, powered by Super Sapiens. Energy management for committed athletes and coaches.
Hello, this is Kate Wagner for the Cycling Podcast. And I'm here to issue a swearing warning. Normally, the Cycling Podcast is quite family friendly. But sometimes when you are familiar with other people, they feel comfortable swearing in front of you. And even though this is colorful language, I promise you it's very funny and very worth it. So yeah, thanks. Ciao. Addio. It's raining again in Ljubljana. I take a bus into Bežigrad, a neighborhood with a bit more density than the city center. The time is around 9 in the morning, and I'm due at the Slovenian equivalent to the National Chamber of Commerce, where journalists are gathering to have a press conference with someone who's unexpectedly home. When I get there, I see colleagues I recognize, and everything becomes more familiar, easier. That's an interesting thing about journalism. Everyone, for the most part, helps each other out, and strangers become close with some degree of rapidity due to the pressures of the job. I just want to take a moment here and say that I'm really thankful for my colleagues in the Slovenian press who have helped me tremendously, not only on this project, but also in navigating the country, giving me rides, and generally being supportive of this dual role I've found myself in. So, thank you. Those colleagues and me, we all get into an elevator and head up to the top floor. The view out is obscured by rain and the screen-printed bird-safe glass. On little tables, the Primus Roglic shop has already set up samples for the press to take home. I grab a bitten as a gift for my friend I'm visiting later in Kranj. Then we all wait around, grab little glass bottles of Radenska, which is the greatest sparkling water on this earth, in my opinion, and it's best drunk quickly while the carbonation still burns in the throat. I never quite get used to seeing Primus Roglic. Pretty much every other cyclist on Earth I'm used to, or at least I can get used to after getting into the groove of a race. It took me a lot of screwing up in media zone interviews and press conferences to get to that point, and had I not had the fortune of watching Richard and Francois work their magic at the Tour last year, it would have taken probably, I don't know, four times as long. But anyways, Roglic, despite all we've, I guess you can say if you know my whole story, been through, he's got a way of keeping me on my toes. I never quite know which Roglic I'm going to get. The funny open Roglic, we'll see how it goes, huh, Roglic? Or a combination of both where it's like, we'll see how it goes, huh, but it's clear he's just kind of doing a bit. I'm the only person from the English press there, so it's all on my shoulders. And I can't tell if this makes things better or worse. Plus, it's been more than half a year since I've seen Roglic. The last time was in Santiago de Compostela after he won his third Vuelta. He was in a pretty good mood then. And this time, eh. He was relaxed. He was dressed in Jumbo-Visma sweatpants and seemed a little bit tired. We shook hands. It was strange seeing him so casual, so, well, unguarded by press officers. He introduced me to his longtime partner and now wife, Laura Klint, who I'll speak to later. We all settle down into our respective places. After he gives his press conference in Slovene, me and Primo sit down together in a pair of chairs and some folks still linger around to hear us talk in English. We make familiar chit-chat about whether I brought a bike with me and how crazy I am for being in Slovenia for so long. Then we get to the interview proper. It starts with the most simple question. How are you?
No, good. Yeah, nice. I'm also, I'd say, I'm not much in Slovenia, but yeah, I just fell in love again because riding here is just beautiful. And especially like yesterday, when it's sunny and nice weather, you go in the morning, you have white mountains behind, I was really taking pictures. I say you forget quickly actually how many nice roads and what we have, really everything, and so maybe it's also then looking from that way not really coincidence that yes, we can have also good riders.
Because this podcast is about the past, present, and future of Slovenian cycling, we jump right into the past. First off, Roglic had the unique experience of coming up in two different Slovenian sporting systems, ski jumping and cycling. I'm actually quite curious to see how different they are from one another.
Yeah, looking from the systems, they are quite different, huh? Because first, ski jumping is a national sport, so it's completely opposite than looking to cycling, which is a team sport, or from the teams. Playing football, I think, from Slovenia, and I don't know, on the other hand, playing for Real Madrid or the teams. And in ski jumping, we created the history. We are ski jumping nation, and you have, I don't know if you've been yet in Planica.
I went, yeah.
You see it, or when they start now, they have still off season, but soon they start training again after a break, and then you can go to see them in action, flying. You see quite a big difference than to ride a bike.
Yeah. It's crazy. When I saw how huge Planica was, I was like, he's crazy.
I'm also now. Yeah. It's incredible. You can never go down here anymore. But when you're young, or when you get learned, I started when I was 7 years old, so you grow up with it. It's just normal to jump.
And when you started, did you have to buy all the equipment, or did they have equipment for you? Or
no, yeah, it's the thing is, you have to provide, yes, by yourself. Okay, you can get used skis or whatever, something used from the beginning, very beginning, because yes, it's existing. But then later on, yes, of course, you have to take care of yourself, actually, or not you, but your parent, because you are a kid. Mm-hmm. when you have to start doing this, they have to definitely support you in this. And later on, if you are super good, or yes, when you are good, and I was, yes, then national teams, yes, take care of you, or at least with the equipment and everything that you can do that sport.
In cycling, even though Primož didn't start out as a young cyclist, he paints a pretty vivid picture about just how difficult it was to get started as an adult during his first years at Adria Mobil.
From my side, I don't have experience with doing it young. Mm-hmm. So yes, when I started, I also needed to, in 2012, to pay and to get a bike and get a chance to have some kind of coach immediately that brought me what I have to do, mm-hmm. how I have to train. And that was my beginning. And then in 2013, was the opposite way, because then I came to Adria, and they have to pay me something. And I still remember, I really said, I don't need really nothing, just if I can already get a bike and equipment is crazy, and if I can just start or try, because for me it was just to try if I can really ride with the best guys in the peloton. And didn't seem like that from the very beginning, but then I always had the belief, or I never really I always believed that I can be the best one, and I didn't have clue about it, what actually really does it take to maybe be that or to do that. And that's why when I started, I just started, I believed, and I was just doing it. And I had a lot of problems, of course, always like asking myself, why do I need this, because I was quite a normal guy. I had my school, I worked, I could earn my money, actually. I didn't really need to work with my body, let's say, in that way, to really be on the ground and live so much with so much pain, or so painful. I didn't really need that, but I get some confirmations or something that it's going good, that yeah, I'm actually really in that way something special, because yes, I could be immediately, I could immediately ride with the best ones in the world, and I had a couple of thousand kilometers in my life, and it always then I said okay, but yeah, with some experiences or later on, then I think yeah, it's some future in front.
A few weeks ago, there was an article in a Spanish newspaper where former Slovenian national team selector and now UAE team member, its coach, Andrej Hauptmann, told press that he thought Roglic was crazy for wanting to be a cyclist.
Yeah, that you have to ask him. It was one of the first guys, definitely, that that we meet. Because I was just sending, like, you know, already emails around what I need to do to become a cyclist. And they somehow answered, and then I was pushing to them for a meeting, and I really remember, because we had a meeting and I said, yeah, I have 3,000 kilometers in my life, and I think I want to be professional. He said, like, yeah, and what did you do? Because he was hoping maybe he was doing, I don't know, cross country or something, and doing ski jumping.
So,
and then he said, like, well, I think he's really a little, you know, I don't know, not completely good in his head, and he said, yeah, but our young kids and guys, they ride already super fast, and you know, you have to pay something that you get a bike, and at the end I went two times on the training with them, and to really experience it, and something different and special. And already at that time I remember maybe the first training that we did together, so that must be in 2012 in February or something, because yes, it was more winter time and I put all the clothes on. I didn't even know how to dress as a cyclist, you know, like put all the clothes on like that I had. It was cold. I came there here under you will know Šmarnagora. There we had a meeting with these kids. For me, the whole, like, you know, professionals, you know, only small socks over the shoe, like sugar, I put all the big ones. And then we went here towards, I remember it's really clear. And then we went towards Kamnik. Mm-hmm. And they say to me, I just stay behind, you know, don't do turns or nothing, you know. And I just had to stay behind. And they started, and for me, it was immediately like we went 30k per hour, but for me, it was a block. And I was immediately out of the breath, and I said, oh, fuck, Rogan, maybe this really is not completely the sport for you, or the way you thought it would be, really, like. And yeah, it was like that. And then we went here, you will know it also later when you start riding your bike towards Chernivets. And then already I was going full gas all the time, and I came like third already on the top. Like super fast, actually. And then on the top, the guy said, the coach, Roglic, you go back now, like it's enough for you. And then I said, but if I came, I do the whole loop with you guys, I don't go back, it's stupid. And then I went over, and we did a loop one more time up and another climb. And at the end, they were all like, wow. Only two guys maybe were faster than him on the climb, but yeah, of course I would never turn. They all the time said, I just stay behind, and don't do nothing that you don't crash all of us. And that was in 2012. This was somehow the first start. But yeah, then again, that was maybe, you know what I mean, with 10 kids or 10 guys, and then when you start riding really in the peloton, it's again a completely different story.
Finally, there's a matter of the future, of whether or not Roglic himself keeps an eye on the cyclists coming up in Slovenia.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's especially like with Laura, and now with having a foundation, is something that we want to take care of, I want to make it possible really for everyone of course with the hard work and always believing that everyone can actually make it. It's not science fiction or whatever. Of course, yes, you need a body, of course you need a talent, but yes, that's with everything. It's like you know, if I would be probably world champion with, I don't know, when I was 16 in ski jumping, normally I wouldn't do cycling. So of course everyone needs to find his own way or his own sport that suits you really good. But definitely taking care of them and just making it possible to that everyone can at the end ride a bike or live his dreams or live the way that he wants.
The Cycling Podcast, powered by Super Sapiens. Energy management for committed athletes and coaches.
Super Sapiens is the Cycling Podcast title sponsors and supports all of our show. And Super Sapiens have recently announced a couple of partnerships with World Tour teams, extending their partnership with Jumbo-Visma, which has been running since 2020, and also signing up with SD Works. Now, Anna van der Breggen, who was an Olympic gold medalist and two-time world road race champion in her racing days, of course, was an early adopter of Super Sapiens technology. And now that she is a sports director at SD Works, she's been instrumental in signing the team up with Super Sapiens to monitor the riders' glucose levels in real time when training and preparing, and to give the riders that insight into how their bodies respond to not just food and fueling, but also stress of racing and traveling, the excitement and adrenaline rush of competition, or even altitude, because all of those things can have an impact on energy levels and blood glucose levels. So Team SD Works, one of the latest to sign up with Super Sapiens. If you'd like to find out more, go to supersapiens.com.
To get a better idea of Roglic's foundation, there is no better person to talk to than his wife, Laura Roglic-Klinkts, who is also here. She's tall and dressed impeccably, in contrast to the Jumbo-Visma sweatpants situation her spouse has going on. We go into the break room. Laura is also a writer. Her book, Kilometer Zero, about learning about cycling through the antics of her partner, was just recently translated into English. Now she's quite occupied by the setting up of Primoz Roglic Foundation, another effort being made by Slovenian cycling's biggest stars to give back to their sport, along with Pogačar's Pogi team and Matej Mohoric's eponymous foundation. We'll hear more about the former in this episode, and the latter was mentioned in part one. The Primoz Roglic Foundation, however, takes a very broad brush towards advocacy in sports. In Laura's own words, she tells me what they plan to do and how the whole idea got started.
We decided to do it last year. Then we established it, but the process is really long. Hvala lepa.
Ni rekel, da ful, ampak...
Super, hvala. The main objective, goal, is to help as much as young athletes as possible. Okay, we are, of course, focused on cycling, but... We will not say no if a guy from another sport asks for our help, or if we will see that there is underdeveloped sport that really needs a push or something like that. But of course, goal is also to popularize cycling, to get as much as possible kids
into cycling.
Yeah, of course. But when you start doing this, you meet certain challenges. Let's say, for example, the infrastructure, the road safety, the things that the young athletes, the problems, because the my point when we started talking pretty much why to make a foundation, because in Slovenia there are really a lot of junior world champions, in every sport. For example, in ski jumping, then you have also cycling, then you have winter sports, and then of course we have great athletes also in elite categories. But if we would, if we could transfer all of the world, I think we would be the most successful.
Yeah.
And I wanted to take a look into this problem, let's say, because what is this step that it's missing, you know? Of course, you meet all kinds of stories. For example, like for him, okay, he was not the best in the world and he decided to stop. Because, you know, for youngsters that are like used to win, it's really hard to focus on a defeat. Yeah, so we will put a lot of effort to help them, you know, to recover, to overcome these problems that they meet, and on all sorts of levels. For example, in psychology, with helping them with the rehab, with maybe with the sports equipment, blah blah blah. So what we did already this year is like we put 5,000 for the young cyclists that has to leave their country because of war, and we offer them to pay them, you know, like whatever they need, a car, a flat, food. Then we put this week in Maribor, it's the Alpe Adria and the national championship in BMX cycling. We also help them, you know, with 1,000 for the ambulance car. These things are really expensive. Mm-hmm. And then we bought 3 or 4 bike bags, which we will borrow to the athletes that don't have. What else? They're in Slovenian schools, go on like trips. Mm-hmm. Primary schools, mm-hmm. and not all the kids or families can afford it. So we offered again 1,000 to these kids that they cannot, you know, afford. So this is, sorry.
No. No, this is good.
Chute à l'arrière du peloton. Cycling Podcast Team Car, the back of the pack, please.
That's Seb Piquet, the voice of Radio Tour, to remind me to tell you that this episode is sponsored by the Hammerhead Karoo 2 cycle computer. I've actually taken a break from plotting some routes on the Hammerhead dashboard to record this advert because I'm in the middle of setting our route for the second half of our Tour de Corse cycle tour. Simon Gill and I did the first half back in the spring. We're riding between every Scottish Football League ground, and we split the tour in half and the second half from Bonnyrigg, just south of Edinburgh, all the way up to Dingwall, which is where Ross County play, we'll be doing later on this summer. And the whole series will be released as a series of Explore in November. But I've been using the Hammerhead to plot the routes. The dashboard is really easy. It's simple point and click to draw the routes on the map. And by using the Ordnance Survey maps and also the Sustran Cycle Network maps, it's really easy to pick a traffic-free route, an attractive route, and also seek out some points of interest along the way. The Hammerhead Karoo 2 continues to evolve and improve because every couple of weeks there's a software update. And one of the things I've noticed recently is that points of interest along routes are becoming more obvious. They're pointed out on the Karoo. And one of the things that I really liked about it when we were riding in Scotland last time is that we could divert off our set route by just dropping a pin, and the Karoo 2 would steer us to that pin and then get us back onto our planned route seamlessly. So it didn't feel like we were stuck to an itinerary if we wanted to take in another point of interest along the way. Anyway, I'd better get on with mapping the rest of these stages. If you'd like to buy a Hammerhead Karoo 2 for a limited time, all Cycling Podcast listeners can get a free heart rate monitor. Just go to hammerhead.io and use the promo code CYCLE at checkout to get yours today. This is an exclusive limited time offer just for our listeners, so use the promo code CYCLE and you'll get the free heart rate monitor with the purchase of a Karoo 2. Basically, add both items to your cart at hammerhead.io and then use the promo code CYCLE to get the heart rate monitor for free. Now, from dreaming of Scotland, back to Kate and Slovenia.
It's understandable that the big pros are returning back to the roots in Slovenia. The country is seeing the kind of cycling moment that only happens once in a century, if ever. It's home to three of the best cyclists in the world, and everywhere you go, you see fans on bikes with Jumbo Visma, UAE, or Bahrain Victoria's kit. There are more people on bikes for recreation, more cycling infrastructure that's being added, and cycling itself has become one of Slovenia's most popular sports. The interest in the sport has trickled down to the youth, who watch Roglic and Pogacar on television and think, I can do that. I spoke last time about the changes in the way the sport has been financed, how the infrastructure from the Yugoslav days lingered on just long enough to give riders like Mohoric and Pogacar bikes and gear when they were young cyclists. With the increasing demand and with the fragility of the capitalist sponsorship model, cycling superstars have stepped in with their own time and money to ensure a future for competitive cycling in Slovenia and to help ease the burden of fresh demand. The first rider to do this was, somewhat ironically, considering he's not much older than a kid himself, Tadej Pogačar. In November of 2020, shortly after he won the Tour the first time, Pogačar came to his old coaches at Cade Rog in Ljubljana and told them, I want to start a cycling team. He put up a lot of his own money, his own sponsors, and he shoots supermarket commercials in order to donate the funds to what is now known as Pogi Team. There's also a sandwich in two supermarkets named after Pogačar, and in my opinion, it's pretty decent as far as supermarket sandwiches go. I've been following Pogi Team around for a few months. I profiled them for the youth issue of Ruler. I wanted to get to know this organization that produced someone as talented as Tadej Pogačar, but I also wanted to see for myself how Slovenian cycling handles its youngest generation of stars. In order to do that beyond just interviews, I had to go to a race. It's 7, bright and early. My friend Žiga, whose little brother rides for Pogi Team, picks me up at my hotel and drives me to his house. In the entryway, there's bikes lined up against the wall and cycling kit lies drying on a drying rack near an open window where it can catch the breeze. After toast, Žiga and his family and myself all pile into a van. We're driving towards Italy. It becomes immediately apparent when Slovenia ends and Italy begins. The landscape flattens out, the Alps disappear, as do the characteristic monadnocks that poke out from the ground like little green pimples. The houses appear different. They shed their pitched alpine roofs and take on a more stuccoed and terracotta Venetian flair. We slow down into a town called Morgano, about 30 kilometers from Venice, but without any of the trappings of a city. It's small with a lovely, delicate chapel and two arcaded piazzas marking the main square. On the same day as the race is a festival celebrating the asparagus harvest, which is the town's main export. Tractors, both old and new, stand at attention and are admired by passers-by. The race is called the GP Sportivi di Baldere in its 53rd edition. It's a minor Italian juniors race. Team cars and vans, like pro cycling but in miniature, line up in front of a school. And when we get out of the car, the Pogi Team kids are already in their folding camping chair, shirtless, pinning their numbers, putting on sunscreen, talking among themselves, scrolling through TikTok. Their atmosphere is very casual. Their mismatched bikes lean up against various objects. Other teams, especially the Italian ones, come with full team cars topped with Pinarillo Dogmas, mechanics, sports directors, and polo shirts. It's clear that the Slovenians, including Kaka Kran in a neighboring spot, are the Luke Skywalkers to junior cycling's Darth Vaders, but they don't really seem to mind. One of the young stars of Pogi Team, Luka Muha, who finished third recently in Pogacar's own local Criterium and Comenda, tells me a little bit about the race and what the plans are. Already he sounds like a seasoned bike racer, including with the press.
We're in Italy, we're in the Veneto region. I think the town is Baudouere, something like this, and we're on a race.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, nothing.
What's it feel like to race in Italy?
It's normal for me because we go here every week. It's good because there are a lot of good guys and the races are interesting and dynamic and it's fast.
Yeah, what does the race look like today?
Yeah, it's a flat course and I think with a lot of corners and stuff like that, so the position is going to be very, very important because of the elastic. If you're too far at the back, you are chasing all the time. So
I'll try to be at the front and maybe try with an attack or two in a breakaway. We'll see how that goes.
How is your team?
Yeah, my team is good. We are a very good team.
Yeah.
We understand each other very good. We like to joke together, and I can't wait till we start.
Yeah. This is Muha's seventh season with Kaderag. He says that once Pogacar started sponsoring the team 2 years ago, things changed dramatically.
It's an honor for me to represent his name in the world of cycling, but not just on the elite, but also on the junior category. Like it feels very good to show his name, that we are his people.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think it means for like the future of Slovenian cycling?
Yeah, I think that's very good because now everybody's gonna keep an eye on us, and of course, if you see someone from Pogačar team, oh, they're just Slovenians, they're good, stuff like that. I think we'll get more respected in the bunch as well, and I think that's all good for Slovenia.
The crunching of gravel and things begin to get underway. The boys suit up in fresh Pogi team kit. It's time to head to the start. The sky is dark and threatens rain. People crowd around market stands and poke their heads up in curiosity of the spectacle of 100 teenage boys in Lycra. There's an air of seriousness to it now, not like it was just a few minutes ago. The crowds cheer and the announcer gives the young men their blessing. Already, after they set off, it's fast and furious. These circuit races always are. We rush back to the car to drive out to the feed zone where we'll watch the rest of the race. Pogi team coach and ex-Pogacar teammate Blaž Debevec is already sitting in a folding chair preparing water bottles, filling them from a water cooler. It's through him that I get a better understanding of Pogi team. But first I ask him for an update on the race and just who these guys are.
One of the best teams has two riders in that group, but they are, if they don't have like four or five riders in the breakaway, they will chase. Even though they have two guys in the front, they will still chase because they have a really strong sprinter today here. So they win most of the races in northern Italy.
Which team is this?
Borgo Molino, green and black jerseys.
And they have the Dogma.
Pinarello. They are like juniors, but they already have some kind of salary.
Like, is there such a thing as, like, pushing those kids too hard?
Yeah, this is kind of the problems, because most of the, there are a lot of, some coaches who just want to make the result for themselves, so they can brag about the result, but in my opinion, and, like, from every coach in our team, is that it's the most important that... Even, of course, we're trying to make them even better every day, but like not pushing them every workout full gas. Still, the most important that have a lot of rest during the training process.
And today, who's in this race? You know, how do they stack up against young kids racing with salaries already? It's a pretty mind-boggling setup.
Yeah, today we are here with. With juniors category, so there are boys, guys 17 and 18 years old, yeah. we have one rider who's a pretty good sprinter, but not in the, like, big group. So that's the rider who's in the breakaway, Bine Mișculin. So that's a good situation for him because he can be very good in the, like, small group sprint. There are, like, we don't have, like, sprinters, so, we're trying with the breakaway. And if Doman gets to the front also, then we have two riders there, and that's a good situation for us.
So what is, like, an ideal finish look like here for Pogi team?
Ideal would be a small group that will come to the finish, and we have maybe two riders in the breakaway. That would be like ideal to maybe have a rider in the top 10. But we're not here today with our best guys. two of them are with the national team in Belgium. Some guys here are first time in Italy, so they're just trying to get the feeling how the races are work here.
And it's really different from in Slovenia.
Yeah, completely different, because on Slovenian races there are like 50 riders at the start, and then they come to Italy and they hear like maybe 200 riders, and it's complete, like, just the speed is much higher than in Slovenia. The whole dynamic of the group is much different, like that's why we are here in Italy to get those kind of experience.
And it's important for Slovenian cycling to be able to race in Italy. And
yes, we're really lucky that we don't need to go very far to have very high quality races, like maybe 1 hour across the border, and we have like dozens of races every weekend actually. So I think this year we were more than maybe 10 times in Italy already. So yeah, like it's very good to be here, to getting the experiences at and maybe if you can make the result here, then it's a lot you have bigger chances to get to national team and then to races on Nations Cup and stuff like this.
That's a really important point. In order for Poggi team to compete at the biggest competitions, including that 2018 Tour de l'Avenir won by Tadej Pogačar, for it was called Poggi team, they need to send the riders to the Slovenian national team, which races in those big juniors events all around Europe, Belgium, France, etc. If you remember Martin Hvastija from the last episode, he's still the selector of the junior national team, responsible for picking out which young guys from which clubs go to which races. According to Debevec, the relationship between the local teams and the national team is fairly straightforward.
The relationship, there's like no special relationship. We're just like any other team. We need to prove ourselves to have riders in the national team. So there's not like, we are not privileged more than, for example, Adria or any other team. So we need to make a good result, especially here in Italy. And if we have a lot of riders who race good here, then they also get chance to ride for a national team.
And KJS selects the national team.
Nace.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. He's a lot of times also here in Italy. He watched the races. He's not just checking the results, but he also come to the race and watch to see which riders are active, who's in a breakaway, who's chasing the group, who's maybe leading out their sprinter, and he's also watching stuff like this. So it's not just about the result, it's also about other things.
Now I turn my attention to Blaž himself. He's a young guy with a cyclist build, dressed in a Poggi team t-shirt and faux Ray-Bans. When I ask him who he is and what exactly he does, he says,
I am Blaž Debevec. I'm a cycling coach for almost four years now. Before that, I was also racing for our team. So before became Poggi team, I was racing here for Ljubljana Radenska, or Ljubljana AS, or Ljubljana Migi Migi, whatever.
Yeah.
And then in under 23 team in Ljubljana Gusto. Now I'm helping to coach the juniors. It's very dynamic job. It's never boring. It's always action. Most of the weekends we are here in Italy or in other countries. Otherwise, I'm a student of sports coaching. What else?
Blaž tells me he learned a lot from Miha Kancilia, who is Tadej Pogačar's first coach and a staple at Cadet Rog. Kancilia also took a similar path, choosing not to pursue a professional career in favor of going to school to study sports medicine, after which he returned to Cadet Rog. It's possible that this local and very educated approach without long stints in the World Tour is partially responsible for the chill attitude I've been witnessing here. I asked Debevets about how he searches for talent and what it is the kids are actually learning in Caderag, how they become cyclists. The answer he gives is fairly casual, and to be honest, it's also quite forgiving.
There's a lot of riders who are already, like, developed a lot. Their puberty came faster than maybe compared to other cyclists. So if one kid is good at 15 years of age, that doesn't mean that he will be world tour rider one day. But we are trying to be to look also for those riders who are maybe not that developed at that stage, but because we know what happened with today. He was like very late bloomer, so we are watching for those riders who are maybe a bit not that developed, because they can still be very good when they will maybe grow up. So the most important is that the riders learn how to ride in this group, and then it's not all about watts per kilo. It's more, very much more about the positioning in the group, and to be economic at racing.
Speaking of being economic at racing, the race is on. One boy, Domen Oblak, has been in the breakaway for quite a few laps, but it's clear in the last one he's going to get pulled back by the rapidly approaching bunch. We scramble for our cars so that we can make it to see the finish. By the time we're back in Morgano, everything has been stitched together and there's a sea of black jerseys on the front. One of them wins. The first 8 finishers in the race are Italian. But the Poké Team guys are pleased nonetheless. It was a success, for the simple reason of it being a race where they got better at racing. I caught up with Luca Muha after the race to hear his side of it. What happened?
In the beginning I tried with some attacks, and then after 2 laps a group of about 10 to 20 people went to the front, and we had 2 guys in the front, so it was very good. I think they won both intermediate sprints.
Really?
Yes. And then 2 laps to go, Borgo Molino just came to the front and hammered it. We caught them about a lap to go, and then it was just battled for positions for the sprint. I tried to help Andras get in a good position, but because we were on the windy side of the road, it was very hard, but yeah.
You're happy with the race?
Yeah, I'm happy. I think I did quite well. I avoided the crashes, and I think I had good position in the group. Yeah, we were lucky with the weather. Now it's raining.
Yeah. Were there a lot of crashes?
There was one crash in the second lap, I think. It was two. I only know for one. there was one crash. I was behind the boys. We just, all of a sudden, we were all breaking, and then I saw some guys lying on the floor. I was lucky there, but yeah, that's it.
Yeah, good race though.
Yeah, it was.
And what's your next race?
Next race, I think next week in Italy as well, Corno di Rosacco, with some hills and a climb at the end.
It's better for you?
Yeah, it will be better, of course.
Oblak, who was in the breakaway, recounts his experiences along with another one of his teammates, Andras Skok, who won an intermediate sprint.
Luca said that people took some intermediate sprints. Do you know who took them?
Yeah, Vine took 2 sprints, first place, and Andras was third on the first sprint.
You want to say something about today?
The race was very interesting. I was in a breakaway with Domen. I think his leadership is very good. He told me what to do and how to do something, and I'm very proud of him. And yeah, I won 2 sprints, so for me it was very successful.
And those were the sprints for the cash prizes?
Yes.
So you got some money out of it?
Yes, I think 80 euros.
Nice.
Yep, pretty good.
After the interviews, the boys sit around and discuss how the day went. They pack up their stuff, get changed, and set off in search of pizza together. It really wasn't so different from the softball games I remember from my own adolescence. Certainly, as a spectator, it appeared to me what it was. A bunch of kids having fun on a Saturday. On the drive home, only when we left Italy, did the threatened rain fall.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
As I sit here in this virtual Slovenian rain, my thoughts turn not to Slovenia, but to France and to Denmark, because the Tour de France is about to kick off. Hello, I'm Tom Wally, the producer of this episode and the presenter of Service Course here at the Cycling Podcast. Just stepping out from behind the glass to remind you that the Tour de France is about to start and it's grueling. And if you need some sustenance to maintain yourself through those three grueling weeks, and boy, don't we all, then you should stock up with Science in Sport goodies for all your gels, recovery drinks, powders. Science in Sport will be supporting the Cycling Podcast on our trip around France, as they always do. And if you want to get 25% off your next order with Science in Sport, just go to scienceinsport.com and enter the offer code SISCP25. That's SISCP25.
A month or so after I checked in on Pogi Team, I'm back for the Slovenian National Road Championships in Maribor. It's muggy and hot and a little miserable. I'm already sunburned, I'm pretty sure. The cumulus clouds look like cotton balls in the sky. The afternoon is sleepy and many shops are closed. In Maribor, the buildings are heavier, more Germanic, but the substance is the same. Intimate, finely detailed, and with a broad square instead of a spindly bridge over a river like in Ljubljana. Maribor is home to one of Slovenia's most popular literary exports, the postmodern novelist Dragan Jančar, whose most popular novel about an elusive wealthy woman trapped in the forward momentum of history during the Second World War, I Saw Her That Night, has been widely translated. A kilometer or so from here, you'll also find the Maribor Jail, which is where the authorities kept the Yugoslav writer Ivo Andrić after he was arrested due to his association with Gavrilo Princip, the young Sarajevan who shot Franz Ferdinand. So you can say that it's a literary city with lots of history. It's Sunday. Slovenian nationals are important for the pros and the pro-Conti teams, but for the juniors, they're pretty huge. This is Pogi Team's main goal of the season, and so far it's going well for them. A few days ago in Novo Mesto, young Nathan Gregorčič won the men's time trial. Pogi Team has brought a similar team to the nationals that they did to the race in Morgano. Oblak is there as well as Muha. Gregorčič, who is in Belgium that weekend, only serves to strengthen the team. There are others as well. They all have to come up with a particular strategy because on paper, the rival team, Adria Mobil, has a stronger team of climbers, as well as the talented Jacques Ergen, who is the son of ex-rider and Bahrain Victoria's big boss, Milan Ergen. Ergen is one of the strongest juniors riders in Europe at the moment, especially in sprinting. There isn't a time, unfortunately, to get everyone's perspective before the start, because riders are scattered about everywhere in the NK Maribor Stadium. They're in the parking lot, on the surrounding streets, just basically trying to get to the line on time. Slovenia is so small that at the start there's only a handful of guys compared to the race in Italy, which felt like a really full peloton. It's so small also that the women race with the junior boys because for the women there are fewer numbers still. The commissar gives the signal and they're all off. Then it's a matter of watching them come in lap by lap on the circuit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9. Then on the last lap, the whole thing's a blur. It's a sprint, and I can't see immediately who won. In fact, I'm not even sure how many laps it's been. I rush back to the parking area where they're all right in at the end. And I ask my friend Giga when I get there who won, and Giga tells me, ask Doman. Doman's in the middle of a conversation, so first guy asks Debevitz, who's also been coaching today.
Can I ask you for it on the record? Sorry.
Okay.
So what happened?
During the race.
During the race, yes.
Well, we had one rider in the group from the start, Bine Mușculin, who was caught, I think, two laps later. He went solo. Uh-huh. And then the small group break away with six riders. We had two riders in there, Doman and Nikolai. We have to be a bit tactical because there was a very strong rider from Adria in the front. who can be dangerous on the climb, but not in the sprint. So we were saving a bit. The group wasn't so fast during the whole race. So even Adria lost a lot of riders, so they couldn't chase it. So at the end, yeah, the Adria rider tried to attack, but he couldn't get away, and so the race was ended with a sprint of a small group, and Dolman was the strongest.
That's amazing, because the last time we talked, Dolman was in a breakaway in that little
in
race.
Italy.
Yeah.
He's using his head a lot. He's not just legs and that's all, but he's also using his head. His tactic is very good. He's not just going straight over everything. He also think a lot during the race, and that's the most important during the race, I think.
And he's more of a sprinter, right, than in profile?
Oof.
Or they're too young to tell now?
No, we are not trying to
categorize
the riders, yes, because everybody need to be good at everything, or at least trying to. If we categorize the riders at that age, it's pointless. But he's like, he can sprint good, but more or less he's all arounder. He can also get through some climbs, not like 20 minutes, but like shorter climbs can fit him very well.
And what does this mean for Poké Team? This is a really big victory for you guys.
Oh, that's, yeah, second jersey of national champion in 1 week. So yeah, we won the time trial, and today we won the road race. Time trial was, yeah, we knew that Nathan was the strongest, but today we tried to do everything to not get with the whole group to the finish, because we know Adria has a strong sprinter there. So we tried to make a race hard from the start, and yeah, we were successful at it.
Would you say that more of a rivalry is developing between you guys and Adria now, or has it always been that way?
It's not the rivalry, but like, more or less, we are the best clubs in Slovenia, and we are like the riders are like friends with each other. But during the race, that's
another story.
That's another story. They're trying to win. So yeah, but they are friends immediately after the race again. So.
Yeah, I think that's it.
And then I see an exhausted Domen Oblak, who is now the new Slovenian junior national champion.
Okay, no problem.
Along with the stuff from
he seems pretty relaxed for such a huge achievement. And he gives one of his, I would say, characteristically laid-back statements.
So, you've just become the Slovenian national champion for your category.
Yes.
How do you feel?
I'm really happy. I didn't believe most of the race, but then I had a great teammate with me, and together we won.
Who was with you?
Nikolaj Gregorič.
Okay.
Yes, he's a really strong guy. Yeah, so he did a great work for me.
And what happened in the race?
Me and Nikolaj went in breakaway in third lap, I believe. And every lap there was less riders in the breakaway. And for the sprint, there were four of us. And Nikolaj pulled for me. And we won a long sprint.
Nice. And so, are you kind of excited, like, what the jersey is going to look like?
I'm very excited to have a national champion jersey. It's a really special thing, and I'm super happy.
Yeah, and it's
I have to say, being at the national championships, watching the young riders from clubs both big and small, and seeing just how many cyclists there are and how passionate they are, it's pretty incredible. I mean, but that's Slovenia too, just as a country. The more time I spend here, the more incredible it is to me. The more familiar it gets, the more I still have to discover. The Slovenes have a folk notion of the ninth country, a distant place where life is free of suffering. And the number nine represents something important that is difficult to achieve. You could say, if you really wanted to stretch the metaphor to the point of farce, that Slovenia is in the ninth country of cycling. But staying in that role is going to take a lot of effort for now. And I would say, for now, that they're on the right track. So if you're listening, maybe you should take some notes. Remember the names of the young men in this podcast. You might be seeing them on Eurosport in the near future. I'm Kate Wagner, reporting from Ljubljana. for the Cycling Podcast.
The Cycling Podcast was created in 2013 by Richard Moore, Daniel Freeb, and Lionel Byrne.